Okay, I'm going to draw you together for our last bit of input for this afternoon. We've heard some of what he had to say in the first hour, but if I get your attention, and would you put your hands together and welcome Ian Powell, who's going to speak on Christianity for our last bit.
One of the questions which I've been asking a few of my friends, I've got Mustafa is a guy I've had a number of debates with on Islam, and a couple of guys who are good friends of mine who are very strong and devoted atheists, is to ask them the question, what sort of information or perhaps experience could convince you that what you're presently believing is not true? That is, how could your present system be disproven? A bit like in science. Let's see if we can get this wrong. Now, for Christianity, it's very, very clear, and has been for 2,000 years. And I want to look at three things, since we can't reuse the same stuff we had at the beginning. And firstly, look with you at the intellectual basis, very briefly. If you ask Christian, why should I become a Christian? Now, let me start differently. When I've talked to people of other religions, both Islam and Buddhism and all sorts of other faiths, and I ask them, how can I know that what you're saying is true? The sort of answer I've got is something like this. Read whatever the scriptures are or reflect on it and see if it resonates with you. Pray that God would show you the truth and you will know. Now, the problem is when you ask enough people that of very different belief systems is they all have a similar thing. If you have an honest heart and you read, you will just know, it will resonate with you in your heart. And that's a valid thing in some way, it's important, but it actually ends up with all sorts of different things, contradictory things being true. What Christianity has always said is this, is that if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, and this is a quote from the earliest Christian writing we have, if Jesus Christ has not been raised from the dead, we, that is the apostles who preached it, are found to be liars about God, and your faith is worthless, and you're still in your sins. I want you to see the clarity of what's being said there. And that particular belief is straight from Jesus, who, when he gets asked, as I mentioned last time, prove that you are who you say you are, he speaks of his death and his resurrection as the great proof. And the early Christians were crystal clear that if the resurrection of Jesus, if he stayed dead, right, just one more crucified Jew, the Romans killed him by the thousands, and any number of people who claimed to be the Messiah who were put to death and the religion or the following, it wasn't a religion, the followers of those Messiahs went home and went back to their jobs. Christianity is built solely on the claim that a bunch of people, much to their shock and horror, discovered that when Jesus was murdered by the Romans, he rose again. And they met him and they ate with him and they touched him. In fact, he invites them to touch him. That they know for sure what's happening. It speaks of many convincing proofs in the book of Acts. And so what Christianity has been doing, and Dr. John Dixon from Macquarie Uni has given me this phrase, I've heard him use it and I'm just nicking it. He says, Christianity puts its head on the chopping block of history and asks people to have a swing. Look at the evidence for and against the resurrection, and work out for yourselves whether or not he rose from the dead. Now, many of us being the sort of from the culture, I say, well, of course he didn't rise, and the dead people don't come back. No, that's just bigotry. Christianity doesn't think, oh, most dead people come back. It realizes this is a freakish event. History is full of intellectual people who, when they finally look at the evidence, are persuaded. Let me give just one example. I could give many. A man called Pinchas Lapid, Orthodox Jewish scholar of history. In the 1980s, he finally turned his brain and his discipline to look at the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus and appalled his own religious community, the Orthodox Jewish community, because he wrote a book in where you'll find lines like this. Having taken his historical skill and finally looking at the evidence, he says this, I accept the resurrection of Easter Sunday not as an invention of the community of the disciples, but as an historical fact. Now, the significance of that is not because Pinchas Lapid believes it. You should believe it. But I'm saying here is a man who all his natural family, etc., biases are against it. But when he looks at the evidence, and Christianity says to you, use your God-given brain. The heart and the emotion are important. But God has given us a brain to be used in this area. So assess the information about Jesus. That's the intellectual basis that Christianity, the classical Christianity, has always had. Secondly, the question that we look at is, of course, fundamentally the identity and the value of the founder. Buddhism, Islam, Zoroastrianism, all sorts of religions have at their heart a human who teaches, a human who brings knowledge, claiming either to be enlightened or a prophet from God. And but when you put them side by side, it's just foolish to suggest that they can all be right. All the great religions, as I understand it, have got things in it that you go, yeah, that's beautifully put, and there's something there. But fundamentally, why would you listen to one above the other? It can't just be, oh, I like this one, or this is what my family has always done. That's not a good way to work it out. But we do need, I think, to at least take on board the fact that Jesus was put to death not because he was a social activist like Che Guevara or someone like that, but because of who he said he was. The issue was, are you the Son of God? That's why he gets put to death. It's his identity is the question. And it's because Jesus says things like this. I mean, just remember, the people who brought him to death were monotheists. They knew there was only one true God. Jesus says things like this. Before Abraham was, Abraham, 2,000 years before Jesus was born, before Abraham was, I am. Now, the significance of that partly is, what is the Hebrew meaning of the name of God? It is, he is the I am. So this is littered with danger for Jesus. In fact, at the end of that chapter, they try to kill him. He says, for what good work do you seek to kill me? They say, for no good work, but because you who are a man make yourself out to be God. So this is the issue. Jesus does not claim to be an enlightened or a prophet. He never, ever claims to be a prophet. He claims something much more dangerous. And the question for us to work out is, should we take this man who makes unparalleled claims seriously? Well, I think he needs to be, you know, someone like Einstein speaks about the luminous character of the Galilean. He said, no myth lives with such vibrancy as when you read the Gospels of Jesus. But to have a look and work out for yourself, the Christian worldview is built on the identity of this person. Therefore, that's why we listen to him. That's why I take what he says about God and me and sex and life and my use of money and the place of ambition, I take him seriously. Because he's not just a very wise man, but he is actually the Creator, as the Gospel of John so clearly puts. Well, I'll move on to the last thing is this. If we looked at the intellectual basis, use your God-given brain, look at the evidence. The identity of the founder is the key question. Why should this person be taken seriously? And lastly, the idiosyncrasy of Christianity. Christianity is a very weird religion. It really is weird. It's exotic. It comes from another place. I think it's fair to say that in various forms, all religions from various parts of the world are do-it-yourself kits. That is, you get certain teachings and instructions and you put it into practice, and then God or the universe throws in a dash of mercy perhaps, unsure quite how much, but there'll be some thrown in there, and then hopefully you'll either arrive in paradise or a better reincarnation. I mean, in Buddhism, no one who's alive now is going to die and go to nirvana. The Buddha himself went through thousands upon thousands upon thousands of reincarnations. At the heart of Christianity, a story from I don't remember if this is when he was at Oxford or Cambridge, but C.S. Lewis, the professor who wrote all sorts of wonderful books, was brought to Christ through the human friend who helped him was J.R. Tolkien, who was a Christian, and Lewis had been an atheist till he was about 40. He's walking past a group of people in some seminar, religious seminar, trying to work out what is unique about Christianity. They said, Lewis comes through by accident. They say, Professor Lewis, what do you think is unique about Christianity? Lewis says, well, that's easy. Grace. The unmerited, undeserved, superb love of God. That God loves me even though I'm a complete scumbag. Although I do deserve to go to hell, I'm completely and wonderfully loved. Why? Did I deserve it? No, I don't deserve it. God in grace loves me, and he sends his son to die for me, to deal with my sin. So a person like me is going to paradise. Not because I'm good, right? But because God just gives it as a free gift. And because of that, I want to please him. Right? And that's where Christianity is about grace. That's the idiosyncrasy and the weirdness of it. And we live like that with others. What are you doing? Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, enough to talk about, so why don't you go around your tables and have a chat.